Here comes the sun. Da 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 da. Here comes the sun. The sun is out. The sun is bright. And it is a beautiful day here in Carbondale, Colorado, folks. And this is the Everything Under the Sun show. Welcome. Today, I am joined in the studio by two special guests. This is your host, James Steinler, this week. And I am actually... Let me rephrase that. One of our guests is actually my co-host, Jeannie Soldern. How are you doing, Jeannie?
This fine day. I'm doing great, Mr. Steinler. How are you?
I'm doing quite well. Thank you so much for asking. And Jeannie is also a reporter for the Soprus Sun. We both write for the Soprus Sun and have been working together for over a year now. And we've also developed a wonderful friendship.
You are so hard to be friends with, I'm just telling you right now.
Oh my goodness. I would ask you to explain that.
Oh, okay. But
I don't want to put you on the spot.
Not on the radio, please.
Okay. So Jeannie, you were with the Sun before I was.
Yeah.
When did you start?
I started in January of 2019. I came here, moved here in November of 2018 from Minneapolis area in Minnesota. And did you want me to talk Fargoese?
You talk Fargoese.
You got to make your tater tot hot dish. Well, that sounds a little more Canadian, but yeah.
They're pretty close, right?
They're pretty close. As they say, Minnesota is southern Canada, so...
I'm Canadian. Did I ever tell you that?
Oh, no, I did not
know
that.
Yeah, I am. That's why I'm a little weird. And really nice.
I don't know. Can we still be friends?
Jeannie, you have been picking up a lot of extra work and lots of different topics as well you've covered over in your time.
Yep.
But can you tell me, is there a favorite subject or beat that you like to cover?
Geez, I don't know about that. I love the arts. I love, one of the features that I did that I really enjoyed was interviewing fly fishing guides. I don't know. There's just so much I love about this community. And I think it really hit home with me this week with the stories that I did this week about what an awesome community we have, what talented people we have here. Just to be grateful for that.
That's so lovely. And Jeannie, did you do any writing before you worked with the Sun?
Yeah, when I was in Minnesota, I worked for the Minnesota Women's Press, a couple of independent papers that unfortunately are not in existence any longer, The Pulse and Turtle River Press in southeastern Minnesota.
So awesome. Well, it's so lovely to have you as a part of this community and highlighting those wonderful folks and organizations that you just mentioned in our community.
Thank you.
Absolutely. And like I said, Jeannie has been especially busy in picking up a lot of stories over the last several months. This week you had 3 articles in the paper, right?
Yep, I'm still here to talk about it.
Yeah. Well, we're so grateful. And so thank you so much again for being here, Jeannie. Helping me out today and for interviewing our special guests. And if you don't mind introducing.
No, I would love to. I had the fortune last week of attending Hattie Thompson's 155th birthday celebration at the Thompson House Museum.
Lovely.
And who I got to interview for that article was Sue Gray, and I unfortunately messed up her title in the article, so Sue, if you can clarify what your position is.
We'll go on a correction next week, folks.
Yeah.
Okay, well, I am the vice president of the Carbondale Historical Society. I was the president for several years, a few years ago. We actually don't have an executive director anymore, so it's the president, Stephen Shapiro. And then I'm the vice president currently. So that's my
position. So there's been a bit of a musical chairs in terms of positions and titles.
Yes.
Is that just because, is there any reason for that? Or is this developing?
No, not really. It's, you know, there's a lot of boards to sit on in Carbondale, a lot of volunteer opportunities, and people kind of move around a little bit. So a few people moved on, and that's how I became the president, even though I was just a board member at the time, and actually more the gardener.
Oh, wonderful.
The Historical Society gardener was my original position.
So I'm sorry to interrupt. Were you a gardener before you were a board member for this Historical Society?
Yes. I actually started gardening with the Historical Society in 2014. I approached them and asked if I could do a heritage garden because I wanted to understand how the pioneers grew their food and, you know, how they could survive here through these winters on what they could just grow here. Being from California, I couldn't grow a tomato when I got here. I didn't know how to grow a tomato in this climate. So I was very interested in learning how the pioneers did that. And so I worked with the Historical Society on developing the Pioneer Heritage Garden, which still exists over at the jail and cabin history park, where the log cabin is and the brick jail there. There's a little box garden called the Pioneer Heritage Garden, and it showcases the 10 vegetables that fed the West, basically.
Well, and you all, and we want to talk maybe a bit more about that. I know Jeannie's interested in the Heritage Garden. You also, I just want to note, you all, and Jeannie's going to get into it, but you all have a lot of, on your plate and a lot of exciting stuff coming up and a lot of beautiful work. And I was able to see the cabin the other day, the Historical Society cabin next to the old jailhouse. And it's you've done such a lovely job there.
Thanks. It's been a labor of love for sure.
Community effort. And
Yeah,
but you take so much on your shoulders and that does not go unrecognized.
Thank you.
So one of the things that we talked about in our interview was that you're currently seeking volunteers to staff the Dinkle Mercantile.
Yes. So we have had that log cabin as a museum open off and on through the years. And we decided that we would take last year, the COVID year, to totally redo the interior of that cabin and replicate a mercantile, an 1890s to 1915 or 20s mercantile, and model it after the Dinkle Mercantile. It's, of course, not as extensive and huge and wonderful as the Dinkle Mercantile was, but it gives the feeling, so you have a more interactive experience as you enter the museum. It's more like entering the past. So it's going to be really fun for people to visit that museum. We're going to have interactive games and displays, demonstrations for people to see. We have a then and now wall, so showing what life was like here 100 years ago and then what it has become today in relation to that. So building, mining, ranching, those kinds of topics. And then we will actually have a little area where we'll sell items. So we're looking for artists who have small items because we don't have a large gift shop area, but we have a few shelves. Small items that are made in Carbondale that we can sell to tourists and locals alike. And we're also looking for artists that want to create materials for that we can turn into stickers and magnets and that kind of thing. So with potatoes on them and Mount Sopris and dandelions, of course.
Wonderful.
That type of stuff. So if any artists out there want to get involved, they can email me at info@carbondalehistory.org and get in touch with us and we'll make it happen.
That's fantastic. Another avenue to get some artists' work out there, too.
Right. And we also need volunteers to staff the museum. So we're going to have the museum open on Fridays and Saturdays from 12 to 4. So people can either do a whole 12 to 4 shift on a Friday or Saturday, or we can split the shifts if they could do, you know, 12 to 2, or somebody can do 2 to 4. Then we would just welcome anybody who wants to get involved with the Historical Society as a volunteer, as an artist, as a board member even.
Yes.
Looking for board members.
Oh, good.
To, contact us at info@carbondalehistory.org.
You heard it, folks. That's info@carbondalehistory.org. You can get a hold of Sue that way. And it really is, the mercantile is such a special, or excuse me, the museum, which is the replica of the mercantile is just, it's so wonderful, Sue. And it does, when I walked in there, it felt like stepping into the past, and it's really lovely.
Great.
Yeah, so thank
the,
you.
The original mercantile was in the Dinkle building.
Right.
Right where the Black Nugget is now. That would have been the old Dinkle mercantile
right on the corner.
Space.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you know KD&K started in the Dinkle building.
That's right.
And that's why it's called K-Dink.
K-Dink.
And I understand you're going to have penny candy for sale.
Yes.
And I have to tell you, at the recent Soper Sun editorial board meeting, there was one person who shall remain unnamed by the Raleigh, who did not know what panty candy was.
Well, you know, it's kind of a, you know, old era thing. People, even people my age, I'm 64, I didn't live in the era of penny candy.
Okay.
But you'll see in old movies and things, you know, especially Westerns, you'll see them go into the store and the kids will go right for the penny candy jars.
Right.
Yeah. You know, so.
And those are just little candies that you could buy for a penny.
Right.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
Well, I love that concept, and I'm definitely going to be picking up some pennies, penny candy, picking up pennies to spend on penny candy.
Nice.
Yeah, absolutely. Cool. And what
so,
else?
Yeah, well, I mean, there's so many projects going on right now with the Carbondale Historical Society, and I know one of them is Potato Day.
Yes.
You want to talk about that a little bit?
Yes, so we just had our first Potato Day committee meeting, and the committee consists of the Town of Carbondale Recreation Department. The Soper Sun is getting involved. KD&K is getting involved. And a few other people and organizations that put this together. So it's really a community effort to make Potato Day happen, as it always has been since 1909 when it first started.
Did we have a variation of Potato Days last year? I can't recall.
We did. We
That's
had
right.
it in the little park on Main Street there across from Pepino's.
Mm-hmm.
It was a socially distant booth.
And you
mask
celebrated
on.
Women's suffrage.
That's right.
That's right. Okay.
Yeah. So that
I
was.
Remember that.
Yeah. So every year we pick a theme.
Mm-hmm.
Last year was the 100th anniversary of the amendment to give women the right to vote.
That's
so
right.
That's
yeah.
what we
1920.
Celebrated.
Yeah.
So this year our theme is tuber renaissance.
Oh,
so
what does tuber
fancy.
Mean?
Tuber is what a potato is. A
oh,
potato
okay.
isn't a root, it's a tuber.
Ah.
So we always try to pick something, a spud or tater or potato, or and this year we picked tuber because it kind of resembles Tudor, T-U-D-O-R, Tudors. So if you've watched any historical fiction or, you know, historical documentary about the Tudors. So the theme is tuber renaissance.
That's really cute.
And renaissance means rebirth. So we thought with coming out of the pandemic.
Oh, I love that.
You know, the renaissance was a time of great art, music, and cultural innovations that came about. So this is our renaissance coming out of the pandemic.
So fitting. Yeah, that's really lovely, Sue.
Yeah, it'll be fun.
Yeah, really cool.
So what date will that take place?
That will be October 2nd. It'll be back in Soper's Park again, and it'll be the full-blown Potato Day with the barbecue lunch and all the booths and music and everything that we've come to love and know about Potato Day. We'll be back this year.
Awesome.
Very cool.
Cool.
Back and bad.
Back and bad. Well, we are going to take a quick break. We're going to get another board member, actually the board president, Stephen Shapiro, on the line. And in the meantime, enjoy the Soper Sun theme song. right. Hope you enjoyed that theme song, courtesy of our extraordinary Glenn Pletcher, another freelance reporter with the Soprus Sun. He's also an amazing musician. Okay, and let's see here. Do we have Mr. Stephen Shapiro on the air? On the line.
Yes, James, I'm on the air.
Hello! How are you, Stephen?
I'm good, thank you. So fun to be here.
Oh, we're so glad to have you. Thank you so much for taking the time and speaking with us today. Sorry for those technical difficulties, but let's jump right into it. You are going to tell us a bit about the Historical Society podcast, is that right?
Yeah, that's what I've been tasked to do. It's a, as Sue said, a bit of a labor of love. I feel like one of my jobs is not to always tell history, but to save history. And one of the challenges is history is so often in an analog state, so we have to kind of digitize it and set it up for publication and try to set it up in a way that's going to be available for hundreds of years is the goal. So one of the ways that we kind of chose to proceed is by having a podcast, because those tend to survive from what we can tell at this moment. And so we started the podcast, which can be found in any major podcast host, like Apple Podcasts, et cetera, and on Spotify as well, and via our website. And we started with publicizing the Historic Women's Project. So the first one's a bit of a test, the first episode. The next five are just unbelievably fantastic podcasts that Sue put together that highlight a series of powerful women across about a 100-year span, starting with the youth. And that's been a fantastic endeavor. And then we moved on to a really, really exciting opportunity we finally came into, which is to publicize Mary Ferguson's interviews, which happened between about two decades. There was about 131 interviews that Mary Ferguson recorded under the title This I Remember at KDNK.
Right, yeah, in the old KDNK building.
Right, in the old KDNK building. Hey. And she did those interviews, recorded onto cassette tape, lost for decades, and extremely recently found. Mm-hmm. And with KDNK's help, we have digitized 131 cassettes.
Oh, my goodness.
And these interviews are fantastic. They feel ancient, but their quality is just good enough to really enjoy. It's a wonderful combination.
Absolutely. I heard one a few weeks ago, and it was, just as you described it, really, really wonderful and great quality.
Yeah. And with, you know, with so many, 131, if you know of any old-timers, you go ahead and search on our website, and you might find an interview from that person, and it just takes you right back into the past, and it's a beautiful experience to get to know someone, and of course, the countless, countless amount of information about Carbondale's history that's held within. In fact, it's such a powerful asset that we went ahead and transcribed all 131 so that they are now searchable as well. So if anyone's doing research, we would love to assist them in a search across all of those podcasts to find the right spot in any of those interviews. That's our podcast, and we are continuing down the road of interviews now that we've published all of Mary Ferguson's, and hope to interview all the great, fantastic people of Carbondale so that their stories can be saved.
Yeah, preserved.
And published forever.
Oh, that's so lovely. And tell me, so how can people find the podcast, and is it live now?
Yeah, it's live now. If you just search under any podcast tool that you use for Carbondale Historical Society, you'll find our station, I guess you call it. You can subscribe, or you can fly through all of them and do a search to find ones that you want to listen to. There's so many that it's hard just to listen to them in sync. But the other way, of course, is just through our website. There's a big button on there called Historical Society Podcast. And from there, you can also listen into from a browser.
Perfect. And tell me again, what is the Historical Society website URL?
You don't know?
CarbondaleHistoricalSociety.org?
It's the number one site, the default site that loads. CarbondaleHistory.org.
Awesome. Thank you. Well, that is so fantastic. And are you able to track the listeners, how many listeners you've gotten? Or is there a feature for that?
Yes, we have statistics.
Has it been how popular or how known is it at this point? Are people listening?
You know, I'm comfortably surprised by how many people have been listening.
That's wonderful.
So each episode has definitely received a handful of listeners. You know, sometimes on the high end, in the 20 to 30 listens. But with so many episodes, I find that to be a great success. And again, only half of my intention is to gain listeners. The other half is to ensure that this is available for hundreds of years.
That is honorable.
So it's a wonderful relief of the pressure of publication and getting listeners to know that this is really something that will be available, saved in perpetuity, and that is just kind of a great goal that we have at the Historical Society.
Absolutely. That's wonderful. Well, and I just want folks, again, so you could search on your podcast apps for Carbondale Historical Society and either subscribe, or as Stephen said, you could sift through and find what you'd like to listen to. You could also find an icon on the Carbondale Historical Society website.
Yes, and I think I really want to add, we've had a wonderful interaction with Carbondale Arts, Nathan Kimberly, and she introduced us to Terry Glasnap, I'm not sure which.
Yeah.
Who recorded, I think, 46 years of Mountain Fair.
Oh, my goodness. So that's so exciting.
Through working with him, we're going to offer, also, of course, through Carbondale Arts, we're going to offer a lot of his work that he's producing right now, and some of that will hopefully turn into podcast items as well.
That's wonderful, and that's actually a great segue because that was on our topic list. Sue, would you like to also add anything regarding Carbondale Historical Society and collaborating with this year's Mountain Fair?
Yes, we have a couple of our board members that are working with Carbondale Arts to put together the video compilation, like Stephen said, about the 50th anniversary, and also just other historical records of Mountain Fair. We're putting that all together. We'll have a booth at Mountain Fair, along with Luke Nestor from KDNK, recording people's Mountain Fair stories. So you can just come by and tell your story, and we'll record that, and that may end up on the podcast, too, at some point.
Great.
We're collaborating with the Carbondale Arts for 50th.
That seems so appropriate with it being the 50th anniversary. It's a milestone.
It's historical.
It's historical. They're going to celebrate it at the 100-year anniversary.
That's right.
The 100th Mountain Fair. Have y'all collaborated much with Carbondale Arts in the past?
No, not much. This is probably our first real collaboration.
Cool.
So, yeah.
Well, it's so awesome to see you all just really taking everything up. And as you said, the Renaissance and growing out of this pandemic, and it just seems like the Historical Society is really, launching into the future.
Yes.
Which is kind of an oxymoron.
I did want to tell people that the Thompson House Museum also will be open this summer by appointment. So,
great.
There's a sign on the door of the Thompson House that tells you how to make an appointment. You can do a scheduling, calendly.com schedule, or you can call Bonnie. She's the head docent at the Thompson House Museum. And the numbers and all of that are on the door, but also we'll have that on our website, that information of how to get an appointment for the Thompson House. And if you have not seen the Thompson House, you definitely need to take that tour this summer.
You have to.
And if you have any friends or family coming into town, it's just a great place to take people.
Absolutely.
It's definitely like walking into the past.
I was going to say, if you want to take a step into the past, really the Thompson House is very special, and it's a great way to get connected with Carbondale's past.
Right. And we have so many other things that you can do. Just if you go to our website, we have an architecture tour with over 50 homes in Carbondale that you can learn about. We have a downtown walking tour that you can download and take that tour on your own. We have that historic women audio series on there. And, of course, we want you to support us. There's a support button at the top right. You can volunteer or you can donate. So that's a wonderful way to support us and so that we can do all of these things for our community and also for the visitors that come here.
You heard it, folks. Please donate to the Carbondale Historical Society, as can use your donations. They're taking on so much right now. And just like a lot of nonprofits in this town, they depend on your donations. So yes. CarbondaleHistory.org and donate, please.